Foreclosure es en la Biblioteca Pública de Chelsea a las 6 de la tarde este próximo martes. Los encargados son nuestros amigos de Chelsea Collaborative, nuestra querida amiga Rachel English. Estaremos allá a 6 de la tarde. This is run by Chelsea Collaborative next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. She has her foreclosure workshops for people that are facing eviction. You do not have to be a Chelsea Chelsea resident to come in and hear your concerns and ask any questions. We expect to have our lawyer at hand giving us free advice. Ayuda gratis legal. Tendremos un abogado allá ayudándonos. It will be this upcoming Tuesday at 6 o'clock at the Chelsea Public Library.
And on Wednesday, another event called Getting Started with a Business Plan, the Ideas Competition. So MIT has this competition called the Ideas Competition, and I think a lot of people outside of MIT don't know about it and don't realize that it's open to the public, but it's a competition that encourages teams to develop and implement projects that make a positive change in the world, and entries are judged on their innovation, feasibility, and community impact. So you have a chance to like make a project that you think will be beneficial for underserved communities anywhere in the world. And the only requirement is that you have to team up with MIT students. So like one third of your team has to consist of MIT students. So there's going to be a workshop about how to make a business plan, which is one of the types of projects you can propose. And it's going to be on this Wednesday, January 13th, from 6 to 8 p.m. in room 4163. And they'll teach you how to write a business plan, and you might be able to team up with MIT students, or if you're an MIT student yourself, you can like start a project. So you can form a team to enter this competition, and there's really cool prizes. So that's all the anuncios we have for today. But
vamos a decir eso en español.
Ya nos está acabando el tiempo, chicos.
Yeah, we have like a minute left, so.
Bueno, maybe. Es para todos aquellos que tienen algún proyecto que ayudaría a las comunidades que están en desarrollo en cualquier lugar del mundo. Todo lo que se requiere es que te pongas en equipo con gente de MIT y hay un presupuesto dispuesto para ustedes. Mándenos email aquí a nosotros y nosotros podemos contactarlos con la persona adecuada.
You've been listening to Sperio on WNBR Cambridge. Thanks for listening to our show, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Muchísimas gracias, y obrigado también.
And one more thing, just a little note for everybody. Next week, we hope to have real music from Honduras and the current crisis there, courtesy of our dear Sperio Collective member, Kat. So that's something to look forward to next week.
Así es, Kat nos ha prometido que estará aquí la próxima semana con un CD de la Resistencia Hondureña, un CD absolutamente fantástico. No se pierdan Esferio, 6 de la tarde, próximo viernes, we will be here.
those groaning, groaning, wailing whales. Marhaban to you. I am a Dr. Jalis Sakran, and I welcome you. I'm here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio, but not your typical New Age Talk Radio. This is New Age Talk Radio, which emphasizes you. You being, of course, the listener, who is able to become, later, the participant. We owe this wonderful twist to WMBR, which is 88.1 FM in Cambridge. I'm sitting on this very bizarre Friday evening in the studio with my longtime compatriot, Mr. Five. Mr. Five, are you present?
Hello, Dr. Giles.
Well, marhaban to you, Mr. Five.
Good evening.
How are you finding yourself this evening?
Slightly preoccupied with the weather.
Why is it that the weather preoccupies you in this way?
I suppose it's the recent shifts in weather.
The fact that the weather changes so quickly and so subtly.
Right. I've been paying a lot more attention internally and externally to these shifts, and there's been a lot of speculation about ocean current movements right now, and just trying to figure that out internally and how that relates.
Well, the ocean current movement is a challenging thing. I heard recently that new islands, new nation states are forming in the Pacific due to these current movements.
Right. Except they have no roots like normal nation states or islands. They're floating, tiny little floating islands everywhere.
But these sort of floating islands can coalesce and become very large, and really sometimes roots can ground you in the storm, but sometimes a root will just make you weaker. Well, it's good to have you here with us, Mr. Five.
Thanks.
We're also joined for the first time by Love Student Dave. Love Student Dave, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Love Student Dave, I'm told that you are related to our former guest host.
Yes, we've had a deep spiritual connection for some time, but the way of life has brought us apart on different coasts, so right now I'm visiting him on a spiritual journey to also see the weather in this beautiful Cambridge area.
So it's amazing that the wind and the current can separate and it can bring things together.
Yes, it is.
It's truly a joy to have you with us here, Love Student Dave.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Love Student Dave, I understand that you have some proficiency with the tarot.
I do. I look at the tarot cards and they just speak to me in a very deep way.
Would you care to draw a card? And
I will.
Tell us what you find.
I'm drawing the card, and it is Justice. It is the number 11, Roman numeral XI, so it's very sly.
And so it's from the Major Arcana?
Yes, it is, the Major Arcana.
The 11th step in the Fool's Path.
Exactly. I'm glad you're very versed in the Major Arcana as well.
Well, I'm very old. But the Justice card, so what exactly is the message of the image that is there?
It shows that if you sit down, because it depicts a man with a crown and a sword sitting on a giant throne, it tells us if you just sit on your laurels and don't do anything, all will be well and right with the world.
The important thing really is also that, I think we're all aware that we use terms like throne, But a throne is a chair.
Yeah, it is. Most people don't realize it. It's just something you sit on. It means nothing.
No, the features, the very good, excellent features of a costly chair in this time would be comfort and maneuverability, movability.
Yes, because as we stated earlier, the currents, they always take us places. The best is generally a chair that can float so that when the tsunami hits, you will not drown.
It's soft, soft force.
Yes, exactly.
But the ancient preference for a chair was one that was rigid, so that it did not bend with the force of nature, nor with your call of nature. It was a square, and also bolted immediately to the wall, so that no movement was permitted. If people wanted to witness the king on his chair, they had to come to the king. The king was not on a movable chair. There were no wheels. There was no tilt. There was no way to make it more ergonomic. The king had to fit the throne.
This is true. That's why I find for the modern man today, it is best to find a chair that is made out of a bag of sand. Because everyone knows that bags of sand are the most comfortable, because they conform to you, and they don't try to make you what you are not. You can just be.
It's like a beach. It's like just an infinite beach of sitting.
Just sitting on the beach.
Just, yeah.
But here in New England.
That's great.
Obviously, like, you both recognize the presence of both the rocky and the sandy beach, but in the eye of God, all beaches are the same. It's a matter of scale, because my derriere prefers rocks of a certain size. I call the one sand and the other a rock, and it makes a great deal of difference to the comfort. But you know, simultaneously, I would not sit in granulated sugar or in powdered sugar, in a large bag of this type of sugar.
Right. You bring up a really interesting point of what some scientists would call scale independence. And the fact that these sand, tiny, tiny little life sands are really circles, but when you get enough, they're flat. And you just wonder if, I don't know, maybe circles are the most comfortable thing to sit on. If sand is actually made up of circles, then why don't I just sit on a circle in the sand next to the ocean?
The thing about circles is there's no wrong way to sit on it. Regardless
exactly.
of where you come from, you're coming from the same point.
Mm. I mean, but the I think an important feature there is that the three of us here, it would seem to the eye that was a little too close to, you know, one that was observing only the small scale, they would say, here are three people sitting in a triangle. But we all know that this is a circle that we are approximating, and in a large enough scale, we are a circle.
The circle of life.
Well, some sort of circle. But if anyone would like to join in and expand our circle, the number is 617-253-8810, and we would welcome your addition to this rocky approximation of a sandball.
Right.
Let's bring a caller in. Caller, marhaban.
Hi.
Yes, welcome, caller.
Hey.
So, caller, tell us about your chair.
I don't have any.
No chair.
No.
No, so this is a type of chair which we were not mentioning, but the caller stands.
Yeah.
Or if you sit on the floor, the whole earth becomes your chair. And as such, you become one with nature.
That's a cop-out.
So in fact, there is no sitting for you, caller, or...
No.
You sit not on the earth, nor on cloth, nor on sand, nor
not
on
leather. I'm tired.
Do you hang?
No, sometimes when I'm doing pull-ups.
That's great.
So
I have a pull-up bar.
What is your mode of rest?
I mostly lie down.
You lie
down?
On
my stomach.
Off flat forward?
Well, I like to hold my leg behind my body.
And do you rest on a particular surface, or is it...
Grass.
On grass.
Or cement. Or tile.
So generally natural things.
I like carpet, too.
Carpet is excellent.
More natural, the more better. I put herbs.
And caller, I mean...
My food.
I mean, maybe this is somewhat scatological, but... And when using the restroom...
I don't poop on my floor that I sleep on.
No, there is a distinct floor.
Yeah, I have a toilet.
So
it's a Japanese toilet, so I poop around it, and the poop goes into the hole in the middle of the floor.
I see. Yeah, you see what I was approaching was the question of the ceramic chair.
Yeah, no, I don't like toilets. I feel like those keep you back from really feeling what pooping is like. You're too much disconnected from pooping if you just, whatever, you just get to sit down on a chair, have a poop. It's ridiculous.
It's interesting that we are talking about poop. I recently encountered a culture where it was considered normal and legitimate. This is something I find frankly shocking, but I'm curious to have a more Western view, that one would consume a beverage while, you know, in the bathroom performing one's business. Hosts, caller, how do you respond?
Well, I don't usually do any sort of work when I'm sitting down or anything, but when I'm squatting and using the Japanese toilet that I have, I often do like certain menial tasks, like doing my taxes or whatever, filing a tax return, using my calculator, my pocket calculator, that sort of thing.
Personally, I have a fold-away table set up in my bathroom so that I can eat full meals while I am using the facilities, because I find that it helps your digestion and helps move everything through your body.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a high fiber diet will do that as well.
Indeed. So eating ropes and other things that are very high.
Exactly. Hemp.
Especially. Cardboard.
Bean ropes.
Mr. Five.
It varies, but I try. Most times we're at sea and we can't do anything else on the toilet except try and keep our balance. So.
I mean, you know, my view. Now, thinking about it from a pragmatic view, one would take the idea of the throne and really take it to its limit. The idea that there is that I sit there and work and eat and perform all of the bodily functions which are necessary without ever moving. So the idea of the throne being firmly attached to the place is finally realized. So I can see that aspect of it, but I feel like movement is a necessary function of life.
Not balance. You ever do the master cleanse?
Of course, the
no poop diet.
Right, honey and tea and cayenne peppers.
No, this is the master cleanse diet. This is after you've done the master cleanse.
Right, so this is just straight dirt after that?
You don't eat anything and you don't poop.
Oh.
You just don't poop for like a week. And then you see, and then you poop, and then you kind of do a meditation. Poop holds you back sometimes. You're always clenching, so...
I've never
master clench.
Held back.
I'm gonna disagree, Colin.
You're always clenching when you have to take a poop.
No, I have had the very, very difficult times But I found that, you know, properly timed enema can usually cure most difficulties that I have. And that also can be a spiritual experience. You know,
can you use yogurt or lime?
Well, one who embraces the very fact that you are an animal, that you are, I think we've discussed this repeatedly, but the thought that one is a tube, you know, embrace this and permit your emptiness to be realized. Whether, you know, sometimes the tube must be flushed, you know, forcefully. Let's bring another voice in on this, so maybe we can receive a third view. Caller, marhaba. Caller, are you there?
Hello,
marhaba. Caller? Well, it seems that we are having some sort of difficulty.
Hello?
Caller? Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to put the caller. Oh, dear. Caller?
Hello?
Marhaban, caller.
I'm just calling because I can't stand the conversation. I was hoping to change it.
Well, of course, caller.
It's amazing to be sitting here on my throne listening to this discussion.
But caller, it's a natural thing.
Who doesn't like poop? Who doesn't like poop? You don't like poop?
No, I'm tired of this conversation. Couldn't you speak about something different?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well,
what else do you do? What else do we do?
This program is sort of like primordial ooze, and I keep waiting for something to...
Like primordial poos.
...coming up out of it, and poop wasn't what I had in mind.
Well, caller, I mean, feel
more
free...
More like what you had in mind.
Caller, no, please, both of you, you know, feel free to participate, like if there is a particular thing that you have in mind, I mean, you know, share.
Really, I just called so you wouldn't talk about poop anymore.
All right.
You gotta give an alternative. There's too many things that poop that relates to. You know, well, like if you're having a conversation about poop, you don't want someone to just come up to you and say, "Hey,
maybe we should pick a number or."
No, I will. Pick from the tarot cards.
Yeah, I think that seems excellent.
Can we draw a card? Excellent. Yes, let's let the fates decide.
Right.
Taking from the middle of the deck, I see the death card.
The death card.
Oh.
So let's speak about death briefly.
Oh, that would be much better.
Yes. It's a man shrouded looking down at empty wine goblets.
No, I'm sure that love student Dave will agree that... the death card, you know, many people, when they see the death card for the first time, they...
You guys ever have a poop enema?
The view on the death card can be that it symbolizes death itself, but more generally it symbolizes, you know, a great change. So I wonder, you know, we've been talking about the great changes in the weather that we've been experiencing.
Yes, the death card for me symbolizes life more than anything, because when faced with death, you become the most alive. As with the weather, I decided to come from the West Coast and check the weather out here, because in California I've become complacent with how beautiful and sunny it is all the time. And much like children in Africa, I want to experience the snow and the cold weather for one. So I've come here.
You've come
to the right place.
Let's bring another voice to share this idea. Caller, marhaban.
Hi, this is the first time I've ever really been into your show. I mean, I've listened to it a few times. I've been suggested to listen to it, but it's always, no offense, a little boring to me. And today was the first time I was like really sucked in, and just talking about death, it's really not that productive. I really like talking about poop.
Well, so now this is the type of challenge that we have, because Really, we can't please everyone.
I just figure two people against one for poop.
Right, but spirituality is not a democratic process.
But I got here first.
I'm pretty sure the person that was talking about poop got there before you, though.
Well, caller, so, can you tell us exactly why poop for you?
I mean, it's the most spiritual experience you can have. I mean, whether or not you poop or not, like, when you poop, it's an exhilarating release. It's a new lease on life. You think to yourself, oh my gosh, I can do anything. I'm no longer weighed down by this burden. If you don't poop, you're teaching yourself self-restraint. You're working.
But I mean, this sort of denial, I think, is not particularly productive, right? There is a period in the adolescent's life when he tries to deny that he is alive. And that is precisely the moment in which you are most alive. You try to idealize the world. You have this vision that your hands will remain like pearls or ivory, forgetting that all things must be soiled in time.
I mean, yeah, like a pair of hands. It totally makes sense.
I understand the analogy there. But the idea of seizing the voiding entirely, one would, inevitably become full, engorged. And
I just don't understand how talking about death is more productive than talking about something that makes your whole life better.
I completely respect that. Caller two, I mean, your view on the poop. Caller two,
I'm sorry, me or
no, the previous caller.
Oh, I was caller one.
Oh, okay, caller one.
It doesn't really interest me. I'd really much rather hear about the tarot. I'd love to have my cards read.
Well, I'm pretty sure you have to be there in person to have that done properly. Whereas, you can be across the country and still have a perfectly respectable conversation about poop.
It's very difficult for me to get your spiritual threads right if you're out of line of sight with me. So,
but we can try.
It might just be me, but it sounds like this girl just needs to take a really big dump.
I mean, I might be able to get a feel for your voice over the air if you concentrate on mine.
So we really need you to envision deeply.
Her spirituality is constipated.
We really need you to envision.
I think those are bold claims.
Reaching with your dominant hand and cutting the deck. So imagine a deck that is as large, high as you are wide, and as wide as you are tall.
Are you doing that for me?
I'm imagining.
So I will now pick 3 random cards from the deck. And you have to focus deeply on my voice as I do it. So the first card, the High Priestess, number 2. The second card.
So let's slow down, because the caller perhaps is not familiar with the standard tarot reading. But the first card represents your past, and in this case it is the second step in the fool's path, the second, of course.
Wait, I'm sorry, just before I'm gonna have to go soon, can you read? I don't know, I'm thinking in terms of like reading tea leaves. Can you do that with poop?
Ironically, this has been done, and I have heard of, there is a tribe near where I am from where they feel that there is a saying among that tribe that urine is the human tea, is what they say. And so there is a view also that you take the excrement and from it you can really tell a lot about the person's psychic state.
Also, the Penoique Indians in Ontario.
Mine's had a lot of mucus
lately. Excuse me. Have often used urine to drink in the mornings after they wake up, because it has said to shy away the demons and cleanse the mind and soul and body. So urine can be used for many things, for spiritual, for physical,
For divination purposes.
For divination, exactly.
Well, thank you. I need to head out, but thanks.
Well, thanks for listening, caller. Nice to have you. And is caller one still with us?
Yes, I am.
So
wonderful.
The past card that was read was the High Priestess card, which is the second step in the Fool's Path. So the beginning of this idea of spirituality, the idea of being in communion with one's, one may call it the irrational side, but really the idea there is that you are connecting with a side of yourself that is intuitive but is knowledgeable and very biologically meaningful. So, love student Dave, what is the second or present card?
The second card is number 9.
It's the 9 of swords.
Of swords, of sleeplessness as well.
As of sorrow.
Exactly.
So the idea there being that there may be a number of
evil influences in your life that keep you awake. And they are violent, and they might influence you to also do violence.
Sudden change, a sudden loss. No.
Exactly.
I'm not violent.
No. Not that we expect you to be violent, but that perhaps you are a victim of unhappiness.
Yes, and it influences your life in some way that you may not even realize now, but later, when you look back on your current present, you will see that influence.
So some part of you... Mm-hmm. Is unable to rest.
Right. Many times this is used almost as a precautionary. I've seen this, and it's a warning to the recipient of the reading to be aware and be conscious of these 9 possibilities.
I mean, once again, returning to the priestess card, you know, there is a symbol in the priestess of the priestess with the symbol of the moon on her crown and the Torah in her lap. So the idea of knowledge, of particularly spiritual knowledge, being awake and aware, but this is in the past. And then we come, love student Dave, please, to the future card.
To the third step is the blind Valkyrie, sword maiden. So she was influenced by her past violence, and now she carries the marks of it in her blindlessness.
So the idea there, the two of swords.
Yeah, the two short swords she carries. She must bear with her to always protect herself from her past.
So a blind sense of justice.
Exactly.
And what is her name? What is the name of that god?
The Blade Valkyrie.
So this is love student Dave's particular interpretation, but since he's doing the reading.
Yes, I can feel your concentration on the cards, so these are special for you. This Valkyrie is your Valkyrie. Yeah. So
thank you. No one ever read my tarot before. I think it's very interesting.
Well, once again, I mean, we have, especially in this final card, the idea of sitting. All three of these cards feature people in a sitting pose. The High Priestess sitting on the throne, and the 9 of Swords featuring someone in bed, but not resting, sitting,
hands
in the face.
Because he cannot bear witness to the pressures of his environment.
And of course, the 2 of Swords, which is a throne on the beach.
Exactly, the Valkyrie.
The beach, of course, being the interface between land and water.
Yes, that's where life first began.
The crushing waves and protection from vision and from life with a blindfold and with swords. So that your eyes are closed now out of sorrow, and in the future out of a sense of solemnity, out of a sense of stoicism.
Yes, it's a very good reading, so rest assured.
Thank you very much.
You will overcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you also, Conrad. I mean, it's a fascinating science, the tarot.
Yes, and it really is a science because, without a doubt, it always predicts exactly what will happen. I've never had a reading gone awry. It's always been right.
What? Can you tell us what we're listening to? I'm really... This is great music.
Well, it's a favorite of mine. This is Andreas Vollenweider playing Stella.
Is this a new record of his? Or
This is, I think, from the late... of the last millennium, late times.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a favorite of mine, and again, this is Stella, which is I think regarded as close to the end of the Sunrise Path loop.
Right. This is important, Andreas. This is not minor.
No, by no means.
It's very energizing. Thank you so much for playing it.
Oh well, it is. It's my pleasure.
It's very strange. The sound tonight is different because I can't hear any music at all. I can hear both of your voices, and I could hear caller number two, but I don't hear any music on the phone.
We can request the engineer to put the music through the line, if you'd like.
Oh, that would be good.
Let's experiment with that. Caller, can you now hear the music?
Yes, now I can.
The science-y, we overcome again with knowledge of the board. This is a wonderful thing. And caller, how have you coped with the changing season?
Well, I've been living in the changing seasons for a long time, so I'm sort of used to them. I don't mind it, and I sort of enjoy it.
Are you grateful for the experience of change? Because
yes.
Not everyone gets change in their lives.
Yes, I am.
That is good, because the snow wipes the slate clean. It brings
very
a new
beautiful.
Day and a new dawn.
It makes things a little more difficult, but it's still very beautiful.
Yeah, I run into a lot of problems with the changing weather. Let's bring another voice in and round out the circle here once again. Caller 5, marhaban.
Yeah, I got cut off. I was trying to talk about poop enemas, and I really wanted to just let you guys know about it. It's you guys live in Cambridge?
Yeah, yes, of course. Of course.
Well, if you guys want to come over sometime, like, it's cool. I have a couple setups, so we could do a couple of them together, but it's like, you need to know someone who has, like, the same blood type as you, so you can trade poop, and it's like, You never feel another poop in you until you feel your friend's poop, and it's just like it cleanses you, and it's better than yogurt because you never poop out yogurt.
Well, and oddly, we've seemed to have lost the connection to that caller. But
it seems it's a very appealing subject to some people.
It's true. I mean, I think that. You know, it's ironic. Sometimes we have these discussions that I find very, very deep about topics that are relevant and that really will change one's life in a spiritual, direct way. But sometimes the thing is that, you know, for one reason or another, a person may have spent a lot of time considering certain aspects of life that they find difficult, and their mental energies have gone in that direction, and when they want to speak, you know, or when they can, they find that they are able to connect. Let's bring a new voice then in. Caller, marhaban.
Hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
Thank you. I'm having a problem with my meditation.
Do share, caller.
Well, when I meditate, my chakras seem to line up in a kind of a strange way, and it feels like my body is beginning to resonate in different frequencies. One foot starts to resonate in a different frequency than the other. Sometimes there's swelling involved. Sometimes I have a hard time seeing one foot but not the other one. And I'm just, you know, there's an imbalance. My head will start to resonate in different frequencies, and sometimes I feel I've got long flowing hair, and then other times I'm just a shiny old bald man. And I was wondering if there's any ways to sort of even that out.
Well, caller, can you tell us more about how you approach the meditation?
Well, I pretty much I don't sit cross-legged on the floor anymore, because when I do that, sometimes my knees will get out of frequency with my rear end, and I'll fall over. So I pretty much sit in a chair. Sometimes I have to take a sarong and sort of tie myself to the chair.
Now, caller, have you experimented with meditating when reclining?
I did that one time, and I fell asleep, and I actually found myself half in the mattress and half out. And the last time, which wasn't bad.
So an elevated mattress.
Well, it was just a flat mattress. The problem I had was when I had an electric blanket on the mattress.
Did you overnight?
I started to do a mantra. Yes.
So you left the electric blanket ignited. I think Mr. Fine was reading.
The fire department came?
Well, the fire department didn't come right away, but the
police.
They got the 911 calls mixed up, and I don't remember who came, but there was an emergency vehicle, and they ended up having to cut the mattress off of me, but there was a lot of burning. A lot of burn to my...
So I think one of the important things, and this is, I think, generally good advice for meditation, is to find a position where you don't need to move and set up the electronics and the telephones and the pagers and the beepers and the email and the teletype all so that you can ignore everything for a period of time.
Right.
So that the fire department won't come, because believe me, nothing is more jarring than having to leave from the possession of a 16th century monk in Fiji because the fire department is breaking down the door because of the electric blanket.
They make it, and it's a terrible ruckus, and then there's just kind of this jolt to my Socratic system.
And you are never really the same.
I haven't been.
Well, I think one thing that you might do is to consider in investing or to find a method for reclining in a sand-like throne. See, all these issues, and I apologize to our earlier caller that it all seems to relate to avoiding and defecation in general, but it's really about comfort. It's about achieving emptiness. You know, time makes a fool of all of us, because we think of ourselves as immortal, unchanging beings, but we are not.
No, that's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And do you think it would be good if I made myself some sort of a sandbox to meditate in?
The sand in the circle is always the best way to meditate. Without a beginning or without an end, you can be truly at balance in the circle. So place yourself inside the circle, belly to the sand, to truly feel where you've come from and relax.
It seems like it'd be safer for me.
Yes, as far away from the electronics as you can put yourself is where you should be.
Mm-hmm. Right, is it? General safety-wise, leaving electric blankets on overnight is...
Maybe in the bathtub.
Right, leaving the electric blankets on in the bathtub.
Probably very unwise, I would think.
No, he could sit in the bathtub.
Oh, he could be in the bathtub.
And even better, fill the bathtub with sand.
Or electric blankets.
Yep.
Sam, are more, I just have a kind of a professional question to ask. Are more people experiencing these phase shifts because of the approach of 2012 on the Mayan calendar, or is it just certain zodiac signs that tend to split?
Well, caller, I'm famous around here for being very skeptical of the Mayan calendar. I think that the world has already ended, and we have been left behind. I think that is the most scientifically reasonable view, and that is why the signs, you know, in every century, there have been prophets declaring that the signs have come and the signs have gone and the end of time is imminent. My view is that it ended around the 13th century, and now we are living in the after time. And so our own, we should, you know, the verdict of history has been declared already on the end of time, and now we can focus on living here now.
Well, that being the case, is there any kind of salve that you could recommend that I could either buy or make?
Now, caller, it's all about the length scale. So if you were a giant, then boulders would be sufficient. But a particularly small statured person may prefer granulated sugar or salt.
Okay.
So I would experiment with sand. Perhaps sand poaching is possible.
Mix it with... Well, would you mix it with anything like aloe vera juice or with honey or... Anything like that?
I mean, my preference leans towards the pure sand. It's really also interesting for a person, you know, an Arab, to think of the need for purchasing sand.
If you can find it, you want to make sand out of quartz crystals, because the crystals themselves vibrate at a frequency that helps the chakra.
Oh.
So the quartz is really the best for you and the meditation.
Is that and you can sort of make this into a salve?
Yes, if you use vibrations to reduce the size of the grains of quartz, you can enhance their vibrations and help your meditation.
Which direction would be the best way to rub that on my chakras? Clockwise or counterclockwise?
In line with your energy. So if you're a right-handed person, it would have to be clockwise, and left-handed would be counter.
Mm. Oh, perfect sense.
Now, and your legs, you know, they may not be the same length. And I'm thinking about your earlier comment that the resonances are different.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that may be the cause. So it may be helpful to experiment with cushioning. Like a rubber or a gel. Or you spoke of the aloe vera earlier.
Yes.
A Vaseline filled a foot.
Yeah.
But
there definitely is a differentiation in my leg length when this happens. It happens frequently.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the difference is there constantly. Have you ever had any lower back pain when running?
Oh, all the time.
That's another possible consequence. That would be a symptom of having the legs. It could be as little as an inch.
Ah.
So it's very difficult to see it, but there is a decent chance there.
Yeah, it happens just as soon as I relax and tend to get into the flow. The shift happens. Hmm. And then one side of my body is different than the other, and a lot of times all is lost.
The vibration begins to overcome the original.
That's right.
Well, being suspended in sand or in water, you may find that helpful immediately.
Or since you say that the clockwise nature of your chakras is, or counter, depending on your handedness, is what's affecting your energy.
Yes.
Then you might want to actually sit on a rotating table and rotate to counteract the shift. But by all means do not use a chair, because as we said before, chairs force you to be what they want you to, and you cannot be yourself.
Well,
yes,
some people
yes.
design their own chairs.
A lot of times when I'm meditating, the chairs become quite animated, and it's almost like they have a mind of their own, and I just think of them as very greedy objects. You know, chairs, you know, just chairs, they're just, they just want.
They want to be filled by you.
They also want to drive,
right,
though.
That's right.
Chairs.
And, I just don't, when this, you know, when I'm in this process, I just don't have anything to give them.
Well, I think that a chair may be found that may be appropriate for you is one that is more cup-shaped. And so there you have an idea that there might be a fillingness there as well. So there is giving also.
Yeah, and to...
I have not really experienced a nice chair.
Well,
a chair that really was...
I felt
spiritually attuned to where I was going. It was always about a chair. It was about what they wanted to do, how they felt I needed to experience reality, what they thought my chakras ought to be doing. And
what about a recliner?
A recliner?
Yeah. Comfortable.
One of the perennial problems in industrial design and engineering that many countries see their universities promoting is a chair design. And it's typically been studied as one of the hardest things people can design, because it's very unnatural. And so a lot of people hold these large-scale grudges against inanimate objects such as chairs. And it's nice to sit and maybe rethink the way that we think about chairs. They're very complex beings, and immediately writing them off leads you to some pretty not beneficial relationships with them. So it might be worthwhile to find a chair designer nearby, or a local woods worker, or a mason if you want one out of granite. But
or a lazy boy.
Exactly. They did a great job. Emmett Smith was one of the original designers of that from 1893, and industrial designers herald him still.
Well, when they first made them, they weren't as good. They made them out of bricks, and they were very uncomfortable.
The best chair, I went to a chair designer, and I explained to them the problem and kind of how this emotional, almost the emotional reaction I was having to with the chair, and the chairs that I've been using. This designer, essentially, what they did was rig up bungee cords and attach them to my pants, and that worked quite well.
Mm.
Except that I couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, I think another problem is depending on the arrangement of the attachment, and I've seen children experimenting with these.
Yes.
Inevitably, we have the wedgie formation and ultimately a great number of problems. It's very critical that you are able to void comfortably.
Yes. Well, the chair that it's hard to get, but they we used to call it the Jolly Jumper, and we'd put our babies into the Jolly Jumper and hang the Jolly Jumper from the doorway. And my bungee cords that were attached to my pants sort of became my own Jolly Jumper. And it was good. I could kind of wiggle my toes, and eventually, just through meditating, I could wiggle and jump up and down.
I see, though. So the point is there that you have an actual seat. My vision of the chair that you described was that it was attached to a belt or to the pants directly, to the trousers.
Yes.
But inevitably that would cause the wedging and the forced separation you know, which is...
Yeah. Moves everything around down there.
Which is a challenge.
It is. It's very challenging.
This is a very cheeky conversation.
You could say.
Good.
Is that literal?
I think there was a pun there.
Yeah,
literally.
I think that was witty.
Yeah.
Half witty anyway.
Well, it helps to eliminate the, you know, it's a difficult subject to talk about. It's somewhat painful and embarrassing, but you know, the body when these chakras are activated and they go out of phase, it just squishes around and morphs, and it just don't have a sense of reality that I could come back to, and my body just seems very misshapen by normal terms, and I don't kind of know where I begin and the rest of the universe begins. And I suppose what I've been learning from Music for Human Beings that maybe that doesn't even matter.
I think that's right. I think that the idea that you come in, you restore yourself in the meditation without memory, because part of you is developing, and it's not critical. It's not critical that you are remembering, you know, that you carry on a bit of development in every step. It's not that critical. It's
well,
not critical.
This has been very helpful.
Well, caller, thank you so much again for being with us.
It's my pleasure, and I just I can't tell you how much this information has helped me in my situation. This is probably the only place in the universe where I know how to get answers like this.
Well, caller, once again, of course, it's our pleasure to be here for you.
Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure as well.
Thank you, caller. Yeah. And to our other caller, I'm afraid that we are just reaching the top of the hour.
Well, good night.
Well, my salama, caller, and thank you so much to all of the many, many callers who we were unable to get to this evening. Apparently, chairs and poop are really interesting.
They are the basest things in life, and they affect everyone. So.
It's always there, below you, and ready to catch you and embrace you.
Exactly.
Love student Dave, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for letting me fill in for Peace Child Peter.
And thanks also to Mr. Five.
Thanks.
I am Dr. Jalas Sakran here on Music for Human. Music for Human is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you, on all many of you. Stay tuned next for Massachusetts Bay and Response here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. See you next week. Ma'a salama. Thank you.
points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.